Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airways. If you're looking for that podcast out of Indy, the Eat Me Cooking Show, they're archiving it today. So we slipped in the special, the Sports Talk Saturday. Since Saturday, I've got a lot of things on my plate that I had to kind of juggle around. And one of these shows was this show, so we're sliding it right in here. And I see a lot of viewers on here. We appreciate it. It's hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, Bruce Kessinger in Oakland, California, 347-205-9631. You can catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic. Bruce, first of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? Third of all, man, I don't even know where to start. 30 minutes is going to go by quick.
Well, right now the clock is ticking, and I've got to decide who I'm going to pick. And I can be reached at holyroller9198@gmail.com, also on Facebook.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, you get it up there right. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, a lot of things to talk about tonight, and we got Ralph Williams out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, chiming in. We got a lot of listeners. We're up to 65 already, man, live, and we're so blessed that they're all here. But I want to start out with the NFL draft and your take on it. I mean, you know, we're gonna find out what's going on with this thing, but looks like the Falcons are on the clock right now, and I'm telling you, I think the Falcons are going to take Drake London, the wide receiver out of USC. We could talk about that, throw your two cents in, and I think the big surprise is number two, the Lions taking the local kid out of Michigan, Hutchinson. I thought he'd fall maybe down to where the Patriots can make a trade because he loves New England. What's your take on all this so far?
Well, it's a bit early to really determine. All I know is that it just seems that Jacksonville's there number one every year. I'm just curious about what quarterbacks are going to take. And I mean, the only two that I can think of off the top, and there's a third possibility in the back of my mind, is your boy Kenny Pickett out of Pittsburgh. And I can't remember the kid's name, but he's out of Liberty University. And then he came out, and I don't think he's that bad, and that would be Cal quarterback Chase Garbers. But, of course, right now it's all about drafting how to protect the quarterback and how to get the quarterback because there's no quarterbacks to draft. So it's going to be probably one of the more, I would say, boring drafts, to be honest, as far as any surprises, unless somebody does pick a quarterback early. But I highly doubt that. Because no quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see a quarterback. You might have three in the top 10, maybe with multiple picks by, I think, the Giants and Eagles. But I want to talk about this Trayvon Walker, the number one pick, 6'5", 272 pounds out of Georgia. I mean, this guy is an edge defender with an excellent combination of height, bulk, length, and straight line speed. His pass rush is basically built on strength and explosion. And let me tell you, Jacksonville should start with all the draft picks they have down there and Trevor Lawrence there for a second year with Clemson. They need to really do something with this team and get it back to respectability when you had Leftwich and all those guys back then, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and I do like Peterson kind of as the guy. After the Urban Meyer embarrassment, face it, just coaches who I don't think Doug Marrone really even wanted to be there. And so this is probably hopefully the last time you'll see them for at least the number one spot for a little bit. As far as the Lions are concerned, of course, they need to protect Goff. I know the kid wants to go to New England, but again, you know, there's going to be that Michigan kind of love. You know, things happen. I'm just looking. I'm just waiting really for the end of it to see what happens.
Let me jump in on the Aiden Hutchinson, the defensive end for the Michigan there. I mean, you know,
I made a mistake.
Yeah, you know, this guy, you know, the local kid, you know, now he really, you know, doesn't have to go too far. I mean, he go from the University of Michigan, and you go right to the Lions right there. But, you know, the Lions to me are a piss-poor organization, and I'm 60 years old. This team hasn't done anything in six decades since I've been alive. And, I mean, I look at this team and I say to myself, I just don't understand it. I mean, it's a team that just has done nothing for so many years. You look at the quarterbacks they've had. I'm not a big Matthew Stafford guy. You know, they've never had that A-plus quarterback, the guy that, you know, you thought to yourself, okay, this is the Drew Brees. This is the Tom Brady type. They just never had it. They've been beset with these Eric Kipples and Scott Mitchells and, you know, Eric Kramer types. And but they've been blessed with running backs and wide receivers, but they just can't seem to do anything with this team. Have not won an NFC title since 91, been in the playoffs since 93, I think. I mean, there's just so many things with this organization that I can't really put my finger on.
I don't even think they won a division title. I don't think they've even won a division title, and I think the last quarterback
that I thought
was... Well,
they might have won a division title in 91, and the last time they made the playoffs was 93. We'd
right.
have to check that out with our fan base or something that listens to us, but...
Yeah.
I just don't understand. They keep getting number ones, number twos, number threes, fours, fives, picks, but they don't do nothing with these guys. What's your take on this?
And Joey Harrington, there was another one. They haven't had a quarterback that I've liked since Greg Landry, if you want to get down to it. It's general managers, obviously. I mean, that's Matt Millen did a horrible job. And I can't even remember half the GMs there that were there. It's sad to watch. I've year after year, and it's like you think that Barry Sanders might have had a couple more years there if they'd ever come up with a quarterback that would compliment him. They did not. It just keeps on going and going and going, and I don't see that Jared Goff as the answer. I don't have an answer for the Lions, to be honest. It's going to continue at least for another 3 years.
Yeah.
What's your thought?
Well, no, that's the thing I'm thinking, too. Hey, listen, 10 minutes past the hour almost. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? A lot to talk about with 20 minutes to go, man. It goes by quick.
Indeed. On the NBA front, I'm happy about the Warriors' victory. They pulled it out. They didn't play the best game that they could have. And I love Curry's little around-the-world thing with 51 seconds left, where he used up almost all the clock and then laid it in with his left hand, didn't pass it off like people thought he was going to do, and he used the inside moves that he always has. He is not a one-dimensional player. That was pretty. I enjoyed that. Poole's had a couple of off games. There's going to be a lot of talk in there. They're going to straighten it out in the locker room. I haven't seen any of the other Western Conference teams play very well, period, anyway. So I still give the Warriors the edge in the conference. The Nets-Brooklyn thing, that was a great piece of embarrassment. I think it's going to be between Boston and Milwaukee, frankly, and they might even win that. The East might win this time they did last time. So interesting. I wonder what's going on. I know the Pelicans were up when I last looked, not by much, over the Suns. So that the other two teams are going to get stretched out. They're going to be playing. They're going to use up a little more energy before they get the Warriors.
Let me tell you, sorry to interrupt you, but
no problem.
We're getting a comment coming across. Last time the Lions won a playoff game was January 5th, 1992. Wow.
Yeah.
that's crazy.
That is crazy. Was it Gary Danielson or something at that time?
That had to be something.
Yeah, there's...
You know,
it's... they've had good receivers. I mean, you think about Megatron and Herman Moore. I can't fathom why they can't actually land a quarterback that's any good. That's all I have to say. I guess Stafford was better than I think he is. He obviously got a title with a better team, and he certainly wanted out of Detroit. I guess you would have to say that's Detroit's fault. for not putting everything together. I just don't know.
I want to talk about, you know, and appreciate all the feedback coming across the wires here, and you know, but you alluded to Durant here. And, you know, if Durant stayed in Golden State, this guy, he didn't have to be a leader, you know, by any means. You had Draymond there. You had Curry, Thompson, and stuff. But the guy, I just don't understand this guy. And, you know, I know Barkley and him went back at it and forth. And Barkley called him a bus driver. And, you know, maybe Barkley's on to something with this guy, because the Brooklyn Nets are at the crossroads right now with Kyrie Irving. If they don't sign him to, you know, that contract, that could piss off Kevin Durant here. And you know, they just don't have that leadership there. And the NBA has changed from the days we both watched it. But it's remarkable to see what's going on in Brooklyn and L.A. You need to get people that can buy into a system and stuff. And I don't know if these guys want these type of jobs. Jay Wright's rumored to be the Lakers' next coach now. So I don't know if I want to buy into something where, you know, these players are kind of controlling it, you know, to the point where they're going to tell me, you know, how to coach and everything with my experience and everything. I mean, do you really want to buy into something like that? There are dumpster fires in both cities, Brooklyn and Los Angeles. And I don't know who has a better chance of getting there quicker to the finish line as far as winning a title. What's your take on that? What's your take on Durant?
My take on Durant and he looked so listless in those playoffs. I mean, he looked like his head wasn't there. And I mean, okay, Harden didn't do anything in Philadelphia, but really, you want Ben Simmons? Something's wrong in that organization. I feel sorry for Nash. He's a Hall of Famer, deserves respect. I don't think he's getting it. And I don't see the Nets actually going out anywhere. I see either, you know, Steve Nash getting sick of it or getting fired. LA's not going to go anywhere either. I mean, it's nowhere. They were with the three superstars, so to speak. You know, you would finish under 500. You didn't make the playoffs. Vogel is competent, but Vogel has, you know, he's not the mouth there. Both of those teams have the same problem. They're not going to go anywhere for another couple of years is my thought. And maybe some guys need to retire. I think LeBron has other interests in L.A., and I think that's where he's going to end up retiring. Durant, I don't know. Somewhat not too bad, but there's a bit of a head case going on there, my opinion.
Wow. I'm getting rid of thing that the Lions were back in the playoffs in 2016 when Jim Caldwell was the coach. That's interesting. I didn't know that, because I thought the last time this team, you know, did anything was 91-93. So that's interesting in a nutshell there. But that's unbelievable how we're getting the football and the basketball going right now. And, no, I think what's going to happen with Brooklyn, and, you know, they're going to blow this thing off and kind of, you know, bring back the band, and, you know, and Durant's, you know, going to do his thing there. Let's face it, Durant, to me, had to go to Golden State to win a title. He was never going to win one in Oklahoma. He'll never win one in Brooklyn. And maybe, like Barkley making those comments, maybe he really is a bus driver. I don't know. Maybe he's a rider on the bus. Any way you want to look at it, I've never been a big Kevin Durant guy. I'm sorry. I've just never been a Durant guy. You know, when I look at the NBA, you know, I look at LeBron, you know, politics aside. But, you know, some of these guys in the league, man, I mean, they just couldn't hold the jock straps of the Kobes and the Jordans and the Maraviches and the Julius Irvings and some of these other guys. And I think that's why you're really, you know, you're not getting a good feel with the NBA this year. And that's pretty much one of the reasons. But I will tell you this, the East is going to be a dogfight if it decides to be Miami and Philly there, along with Boston, Milwaukee. Those matchups in the East are going to be something. And also, we're getting, you know, something out of Delaware County, Phil jumping in saying, if Doc Rivers doesn't do anything and blows another 3-0 lead, he's definitely gone here in Philadelphia. Well, he could be gone. Who knows?
True. Again, he's that poor guy's been saddled with Ben Simmons, and you know, Harden is a little better, but, you know, I still respect Doc Rivers. And Durant, an interesting note I think about Durant, too, is I think he's going to be somebody who's going to make the Hall of Fame without his number being retired by any team. That's kind of rare. Didn't stay long enough in Golden State.
Yeah, and to keep up on the 76ers, Phil, out there in Delaware County, don't worry about it. They're about ready to put the Raptors out of their misery. He's not going to blow another 3-0 series lead. 110-84, about 7 minutes left in the fourth.
There we go.
That's an interesting one across the thing. But I'll tell you another interesting one, and you might, you know, jump on this one. Is the this past week with baseball, we saw the bozos in New York throwing full beer cans at the Guardians. We saw the fights in San Diego with the Dodger fans taking on the Padre fans in the stands. We've seen the bizarre thing with Kyle Schwarber on Sunday Night Baseball doing a theatric with the umpire as far as the balls and strikes being called and getting tossed. We've also seen, you know, Nolan Arenado get tossed with the Mets and Cardinals yesterday, and the Mets have been beaned so many times. That was it. But let's start with the New York thing. Saturday with the Yankee fans pelting the Cleveland Guardians, and then the Indians, you know, pretty much jumping the wall there. It almost reminded me of the Malice in the Palace with the Pacers and the Pistons in the day, but it didn't get to that point. But these fans are, you know, they think, you know, just because they buy a $10 ticket to sit in the bleachers, they got full reins on these players that are playing the game. I think they're a bunch of drunks sitting there starting out at 4 or 5 in the morning, tailgating. Maybe they're coming in on the subway train that drops them off at Yankee Stadium, half blitz. The guy's not checking nothing. The guy that's sitting there checking their tickets, he can care less. The guy's going to go in there. He probably says, go right in there, give them hell, whatever. They come in there with a slew of beers. Who's even checking their backpack? How the hell do you bring these full beer cans in the Yankee Stadium, start throwing them? And you know, it's bizarre. These guys should be banned for life. As far as the other thing down here in San Diego with these Dodger fans, this is a Raider crowd. No doubt about it. I don't care what anybody says. The perception is the Dodger fan today is a Raider fan. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. You can call me on it. You can call a show. Do whatever you want. But the Dodger fan that I kind of grew up with was a mild manner type of thing. Once the Raiders left this city, the Dodger fans kind of embraced this whole thing, this macho thing, starts coming down into these cities and swinging this, swinging that. Time to throw these guys out on their ass, ban them in the stadiums. If these Dodger fans start coming down there, if they're starting to act up, you just send them back out. Don't take their ticket. But I don't know why they take their tickets. I don't know if they're trying to, you know, recoup profits that they lost during the pandemic. But you got to start banning these people, man. What's your take on this? Oh, my right, brother.
Well, I believe you on that one. I mean, also, it's like, you know, English soccer fans get banned for hooliganism at certain places. You should do the same thing here. Yeah, the idea that they're able to get full beer cans in there and hurl them at players is wrong. This is on the Yankee management as well as the fans. There's of course, you're saying what I would say, too. I'm not going to repeat everything you said because you're right. The organizations themselves have got to once this starts, you know, it's going to have to get worse for fans who are like that. And unfortunately, the fans that aren't like that, because they're going to have to deal with longer waits while they check everybody out who they think is, you know, unsavory, so to speak. Yeah, they got to be thrown out on their ass. I'm with you on that.
So what, did you hear about the whole Schwarber thing, the inconsistency, the umpire behind the plate and all that?
Oh, Angel Hernandez. It was Angel Hernandez who right now, I missed that one. But, yeah, it was Angel Hernandez who's already got a bad rap. This is the same guy that blew a perfect game. According to there was a stat because Angel, he's controversial. I mean, he umpired a Giants game here, and the announcers were continually like, you know, that wasn't a strike, you know, and supposedly he's – like 10% lower than every other umpire in correct calls, according to the stats made by whomever they are. And it was mentioned, this guy may have to go. The players do have a right to complain about this guy. He has made some, I consider, bad calls. You know, something should be done about him. That's right. I have no problem with Schwarber on that one.
Yeah, and now we're getting some comments coming out. Man, we're getting some out of New Rochelle, New York. Jay basically says, hey, guys, don't stand here and tell us that all Yankee fans are bad, sneaking in beers and everything. We got the best fans in the world here. Miles Straw said we got the worst, but you guys are running with something that you don't probably ever been to New York or anything, and now you're berating all us Yankee fans and stuff. That's total BS what you guys are talking about. Well, first of all, I'm going to take the stand first on this guy, Bruce, and then you can come chime in. We're getting lined up right now, approaching the 300 mark almost with live listens. Unbelievable show as the crossover seems to follow us wherever we go. Jay, first of all, I've been in New York. I've been to Yankee Stadium. I don't need to go there on bat day and ball day and all these other days that you guys seem to, get, because when you had those things, you used to throw the bats and balls all over the place. The Yankee fan's like a Dodger fan. That's what it is in my book. I'm going to lay it down. The perception, you don't see this in other ballparks. Maybe you might see it in Philadelphia. Maybe if the Mets come in there or whatever, you get a rivalry thing going. You don't see this kind of crap in Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, some of these Minnesotan stuff. Come on, man. This crap is bred and everything out in your area. These guys start the thing. They start up early, and, it's carried over. And it's gone on for a long time. Every time I turn on something, it's either a Yankee fan or a Dodger fan starting to fight somewhere. And it doesn't have to be in your ballpark. You could be starting it somewhere in Texas, my friend. Bruce, you take the floor now.
Well, I have not been to New York. And no, I don't lump every fan into that category. And Jay, I'm sorry if you're one of the better ones, but when something like that happens with, again, it's the equivalent of hooliganism. Certain fans are going to garner, I can't come up with a word right now, a reputation that's going to haunt all fans. And that's the bottom line. And that it doesn't work. You know, they're going to have to keep certain people out. When that kind of stuff stops, then get back to us about this. Because, yeah, I'm not a Yankee fan, and I don't like the way they behave, period. I'm with you, Mark.
Right. Okay, the big bean brawl in St. Louis. Nolan Arenado got tired of it. And you know what? I don't care if the Mets have been beaned so many times, but – Nolan said, hey, listen, if you're going to throw a pitch, why didn't you hit me? What's this brushbacks kind of stuff? And I thought it was chicken crap on the Mets there, the pitcher that threw at him. Yeah, if you're going to brush him back, hit him or whatever, don't stand here and, throw a pitch and sail over his head on it. There's an unwritten thing in baseball, and we just seem to forget it time and time again. I know you're living in a city where Gabe Kapler was chastised for doing some stuff that was basically unwritten in baseball a couple weeks ago. Do you remember that?
Sure. What Gabe Kapler was doing was not really having anything to do with pitching. It was like stealing bases and bunting with a big lead. He's got a point in that they're trying to get the hitters out, and there are certain hitters maybe who are going to be in a slump who maybe want to bunt to like get a base hit. Do something for their average and get on base, figure a way out of their slump. I don't have a problem with that. And I think a lot of these runners are also taking off on their own. And I mean, there's certain ballparks where it is better to have a big lead and keep pouring it on, because who knows how, especially Colorado, who knows how many runs could get poured on. I'm not anti-Kapler on that. And the pitching thing.
Well,
here's
the thing. If you got a 10-run lead and you're stealing a base on me, you're basically sending me a message, hey, listen, I don't care. I'm going to run this score up. Now, I know the other day the Cubs pounded the Pirates 21-0.
Yeah.
That's one of those games where, it happens. I don't think that's a run-up score type of thing. They're not stealing bases when they're up 17-0. And the Pirates paid the Cubs back in 1975. For all you people that don't remember that, they beat them 22-0. Rennie Stennett went 7-for-7. So just wanted to remind all you guys and tell me the Pirates suck. But here's the thing. If you're up 10 runs on me and you're stealing second base, you're doing something in spite. You're trying to run up a score. I'm beating the next guy. I don't care. I don't care if they throw me out. I'm beating the next guy because you got to send a message. And in Kapler's case, in these things where you got some of these teams that are running and you're up, by double-digit lead, well, if you get a high and tight pitch at your head, maybe you deserved it. I don't know. I mean, but you got to have enough common sense. When you're up by 10 runs, you don't stand there and try to run up a score. We're not scoring runs to make the playoffs here in April. I realize you can't win a World Series in April, but you can lose a playoff game in April. But we're not tallying up scores here. We're not tallying up who could score the most double-digit, runs, and then that's going to carry over into the playoffs on a tiebreaker. It's just, there's things you don't do, and I think when you start doing that, and, you're right, in some more ways than one, if the Mets have been beating the most, maybe they're retaliating, but take it out on the teams that are hitting you all over the place. And I think the Cardinals basically said, okay, if you feel like you're going to hit us, then hit us rather than play this brushback type of stuff. And you know what? The Cardinals go to New York next month. So it's going to be really interesting if how this thing goes, when they get back there. These guys have short memories, man.
True. We'll see if the Mets fans behave like the Yankee fans. And as far as the Capitol thing is concerned, I'm not saying that the pitchers on the opposing team shouldn't throw at them for doing that. I'm just saying he's doing it, and he's doing it unashamedly. He's doing something. And Giant announcers even said, they said, the game's changed. Yeah, in our age, no, of course we wouldn't have done that. I also think that if the other teams – want to throw with the Giants for doing it, that's their prerogative. He's obviously testing the waters, so that's up to the opposition to decide how they want to handle it.
Yeah, that's really going to be something. And I was right. I called my shot. Drake London went to Atlanta with the 7th pick. Wow.
Okay, well done.
Unbelievable. The wide receiver from USC goes to Atlanta.
Indeed.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not in front of a television, so I can't see what's going on even in between the picks that I was watching when I had to go somewhere. So, I'll be watching after our show or trying to find out what's going on. And I wonder where your Pittsburgh boy is going to go. He's going to go somewhere. There's too many teams that don't have quarterbacks. What do you think?
Right. That's going to be – well, I've said this from the get-go, that Pittsburgh's either going to get Mayfield, Garoppolo, or they'll draft Pinkett. One of those three will end up in Pittsburgh.
I could see Mayfield ahead of Garoppolo. And the Niners right now, their general management has got problems because they've got Deion Sanders.
Yeah, when you got Samuel that wants out of there – you definitely got problems. I don't know. I like Lynch a lot. I met him. Seems like a bright guy, but I don't know what's going on there, man.
Neither do I. And they've got both of those problems coming up, and they've got to make a decision. I mean, it's not going to be made today. I don't think they should trade Samuel. I mean, he does more than the average receiver, too. They use him as a running back a lot. If that is the issue, then you got to pay him more money. But you're going to also have to trade Garoppolo and his salary at the same time. Neither one of these has been done. And as time goes, they're basically running out of time to do something. Otherwise, you have a potential problem that they may not be able to overcome. They won't win the division. They won't even come close.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting there. As we wind this thing down, boy, it's going to get – man, there are some picks in here. Now we've got the Lions back on the clock. Multiple. I think the Giants did really good. They got Thibodeau from Oregon, and they came back and picked up offensive tackle Evan Neal from Alabama. So the Giants, you know, did good. You know, Derek Stingley from LSU went to the Texans. That's another nice one. It's gonna be, it's gonna be interesting to see where this thing heads, man. Basically, and as we wind this thing down now, boy, I'll tell you, time goes by quick, my friend. How can people get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me at holyroller91978@gmail.com. I am also on Facebook.
Well, I'll tell you, for Bruce Kessinger out there in Oakland, California, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. We'll be back a week from Saturday, same time, same channel, and hopefully we'll get Scott Morgenroth in there too. We'll be breaking down some other things. Thanks for tuning into this special. Have a blessed night, and make sure you catch the archive version. Good night, everybody.